Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, right? Amen. Amen. It's always a great honor to be in this pulpit, but it's a great honor just to come to church every Sunday, Sunday night, every Wednesday night with you great folks. Amen. Pastor speaks correctly when he says this is the greatest church in the world. I agree with him. I used to hear him say, I'd rather preach here than anywhere in the world. I know he preaches all over. God's given me the opportunity to preach all over, and I agree. I'd rather preach right here than any place in the whole world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you've got your Bible, open up to Romans chapter 1. I want to talk this morning about the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Not ashamed. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. Notice here, the gospel is the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. You know, what you're ashamed of, you never declare. I don't know about you, but and just looking at this, there's something about this that about being ashamed. I know here a few years ago in praying and studying just in the Word of God, and I just kind of heard this rise up on the inside of me. I heard this. He said, "What you fail to declare, you'll do without." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. Why? Because it is the power of God. The good news, the gospel of Christ. The gospel is not weak. It is power. There's that Greek word dynamis there, the English word from the Greek. It is the active force of God that brings change." Hallelujah. I got good news this morning. The power of God to bring change is in the gospel. You know, folks looking to change things a lot of different ways, and thank God for all that. But you know, I found this out. God's way will do it faster, make it last longer than a million of man's ways. The gospel is the power of God. It is it's the active force of God. Think about this. It's the only message that saves and transforms eternally. Salvation, you know, and I like this too, it's not just for a select few. Notice it says for everyone who believes. I call it the law of the whosoever. Notice he said the Jew first. That was God's covenant people, but also to the Greek, the Gentile, the outsider. God's word, the gospel is available to everyone. The good news. Good news. You know, yes, we were a lot of things, and we don't have time for testimonies about that. Sometimes, folks, you know, I always used to cringe in testimony services because you never knew, you know. And, you know, I was at a couple churches where, that I worked in, and pastors were bold. They had more faith in me than in people, I guess. They wouldn't screen testimonies ahead of time. Woo, Lordy. Goodness. You never knew what was going to come out. You know, and people talk about it. They'd spend, you know, well, first of all, you never let them hold the microphone. You got to hold it for them, you know. But they'd spend 3.5 minutes talking about all the devil did and about 15 seconds of talking about God. But I'm going to tell you what, the good news is not what I used to be. The good news is who I am now because of what God has done. It's available to all of us. It is the power of God. Well, what's the result? What did he say the result is? Well, the result of the gospel is salvation. Salvation is a result of the power of God's power. And that's more than just forgiveness of sin. It's the total work. All that Jesus did Or we could say it this way, all that God accomplished through what Jesus did, his miraculous birth, his sinless life, his miraculous ministry on the earth, his vicarious suffering, his taking our place on the cross, dying for us, his separation from God, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. All that God did in doing that through Jesus, he did for your salvation. Mr. Schofield, in the Schofield Bible, says that salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel. It includes justification. What's that? Being declared right with God. Redemption. Being bought, paid, the price was paid so we could be free. It includes grace, propitiation, which is a payment that appeases wrath, imputation. Our sins were imputed to Christ. His righteousness was imputed to us. It means forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. In his definition there of these words, in his commentary on Romans 1:16, Mr. Schofield said that the Greek and Hebrew words for salvation, and that's where he said are the all-inclusive words of the gospel, and he said bringing into it deliverance. When you say salvation, you're saying deliverance. When God thinks about our salvation, he just doesn't think of our forgiveness of sins. Thank God for that. How many of you are glad your sins are forgiven? But he thinks about totally adopting us into his family. Totally removing us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Totally taking us out of the life of sin and darkness into the life of light. And in his presence, we are the children of God. Adopted by God, chosen by God to receive salvation. There is that deliverance, deliverance from sin, from bondage, deliverance from all of the enemy. It also means safety. Salvation provides security for us in Christ. You know, people sometimes, you know, they get in big arguments about, well, what about once saved, always saved? Why would a Christian ever argue about it? Just don't do anything. Just stay saved. Stay safe. Well, how do I know I'm safe? I'm doing what God said. And if I don't, I repent quick. Amen? Safety, security in Christ. How many of you know he's well able to keep us? Anything committed to God, he's well able to keep. We're secure in him. It also means preservation. Glory to God. You know, the older you get, the better that preservation thing it looks like. God's sustaining power. Yeah, thank God for birthdays, but the more you have, the more you thank God for preservation. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto preservation. It also means, that word also, especially the word sozo, is translated several times in the New Testament as healed or made whole, healing for our bodies, wholeness in our body. But not just our body, healing for our mind. We're totally saved. Not just our sins forgiven. Not just we're new creatures in Christ. But we are totally saved. What Jesus did, he did for every part of us. He came as a man. He came with a body. He came with a soul. And he came like us. And he sacrificed himself for us. Not so that we could live like we used to, but so we could now live like him. Healing. And then the last word that Mr. Schofield mentioned is soundness. Total wellness, peace, and strength. Soundness. How many of you know the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind? Not only are we healed in our bodies, not only did by his stripes are we healed, but he is the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We have in our salvation package, if you will, is soundness of our mind. Freedom from oppression and depression. A life where our emotions don't rule us. A life where we control our thoughts and we think, we renew our mind. Thank God for it. But you know, healing is a big part of it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We don't want to leave this out. But I thank God for the power of the gospel. Preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't preach your opinion. You know, in Mark chapter 16, there, the last verse of that chapter, the Bible says, and Jesus, and they went everywhere preaching the word, and it said the Lord was with them, worked with them. I'm going to turn over there, and I'm not asking you to, because I didn't give it to them upstairs, but Mark 16, 20, just kind of come to my remembrance here. I want to read it exactly. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, it's interesting, in the King James Bible, which I'm reading from, the word them's in italics, meaning it was added by the King James translators. Let me leave it out and see if it doesn't change the meaning, but it actually adds to it. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. See, God's not obligated to confirm my preaching. He's obligated to confirm his word. He said he would confirm his word. That's why it's so important that we say what God's word says about our situation. How many of you know that Jesus, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? It's already come out of the mouth of God. That's one. Well, establish it by you saying it. Say it out of a believing heart. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I want you to notice here, one cross, one price, one Savior. You see, there wasn't another time. There isn't a waiting period. There's not, well, someday Jesus is going to do this. Someday it's going to happen. No, at one cross, by one Savior, one price was paid. Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses simultaneously. Now remember, and we'll look at it from Isaiah. I'm getting ahead of myself here, which I'm a little excited here. So let me get back here. As I look down there, I'm going to read that. So no, I was going to quote it, but let's go. We're going to read it in a minute. But look, I want you to look at that statement. This is a logic statement, verse 24. What does that mean? Well, if one part's true, the whole has to be true. If one part's false, all of it's false. So if Jesus bore our sins, then he did take stripes on his back that we might be healed. If our sins are forgiven, our bodies are healed. See, it's a lot. You can't have one part. If he carried our sins, which how many of you know he bore our sins? Then healing was paid for also. Not just healing for our body, but total wellness and wholeness. That word, it means to be made whole. Wholeness. Glory to God. It's not just, listen, thank God for being well in our bodies. Thank God for that. But you know, if you're well in your body, but your mind and your emotions are just out of control and your death, you know, you might have a well body, but if you don't think, you're not thinking right. You're bound by different ways of thinking. And I don't know, maybe your past, maybe the way you were treated in the past. I'm here, I've got good news today. The gospel is the power of God to be free from your past. The gospel, the good news, the word of God. Isaiah 53. This has its root in this prophetic utterances of God throughout the Old Testament. I mean, how many times did God talk about what the Messiah would do? I've seen numbers over 3,000. Somebody used to sing a song called 30,000 Promises. You know, hey, just because he's in a song doesn't mean you believe it, but you know. Don't be like the person that came to you and said, well, like the song said. Well, the song said, what do you mean what the song said? What's the Bible say? Amen. But here in Isaiah 53, let's start in verse 3. He is despised. Now, he's talking about the coming Messiah. So Isaiah is looking forward to what Jesus is going to do. Peter was looking back at what Jesus did. All right? And what Peter said comes from this, because this is God saying through the prophet Isaiah what's going to happen. He says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, you know, even sometimes, you know, and sometimes as we read Scripture, you know, it gets it close to us when we say our and we include all of us. But you know, at some point, you have to make the Scriptures be applicable to you. Whose transgressions was he bruised for? Mine. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. See, at some point, it has to become personal to you. It has to be the reality that it's not just for, well, for some. No, how many can receive salvation? Everyone who believes. Right? The gospel is the power of God to them that do what? Believe. This is personal. Do you remember when Jesus, Matthew records it, Jesus came to his disciples, I believe it's chapter 16, but he said, who do men say that I am? I'm the son of man. Who do they say I am? And they said, well, some think you're Elijah. You know, some even think John, you know, come back. But then Jesus asked them the question that every person that is breathing or ever has breathed, had taken a breath on this earth, has to answer. Jesus looked at them and said, who do you say that I am? You see, it's not what I say about you. Amen. It's not the words that I say to you. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God says about you and then declare that? Who do you say Jesus is in your situation right now? Amen. You know, Pastor Rob picked up on it. I was thinking as we sang that song, who are you, great mountain? Who are you, poverty and lack? Who are you, sickness and disease? Who are you, oppression and depression? Who are you, mental torment? Who are you, anxiety? Who are you, strife? Who are you? Listen to the words of my mouth. See, saying what God says about it. Who do you say that Jesus is? This is the Old Testament foundation. He bore our griefs. And that word is also translated throughout in the Old Testament as sickness. He bore our sorrows, also translated pains. He bore our sins. Now most Christians would 100% agree with you on that one, though. He bore our sins. He bore our sicknesses. And I like that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. At the cross, one Savior paid one price. But that price was not set by the devil. The price was set by God. Look down there in Isaiah 53:10. Look at that verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Who bruised Jesus? Was it the Romans? No. It was God. Who put him to grief? Who caused him to bear our sicknesses and carry our diseases? God did it. Who caused sin to be imputed to him? God did it. See, the devil thought he won. The devil thought, you know, Jesus said in John 10, he said, no man takes my life from me. I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to take it back up again because God has promised me that's what I can do. What happened at that cross? What happened in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension was all God's doing and God's plan. The devil was just an unknowing pawn in his divine purpose and plan. That's why Paul said, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known that we'd be standing here today declaring the good news, declaring the power of God, declaring healing, declaring forgiveness. All that the devil worked and schemed that's happened to you in the past and that he's trying to do to you now and in the future, at one time, at one moment, Jesus rendered it powerless. Oh, I got good news for you this morning. You're saved. If you're not saved this morning, don't leave here without getting saved this morning. Salvation belongs to you. It pleased the Lord. God's justice was satisfied. Jesus became the offering for sin. He bore it in his body. He bore it in his soul. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Here's a great biblical example of a woman. You know, I think about this woman, 12 years. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. So this isn't this a story, this is about a certain woman. Had this issue of blood 12, what's that? She's bleeding. Internally, she's got this issue of blood, and it issuing out internally, probably manifesting outside her body too. Some type of sore, something's going on. But notice, 12 years. Now, what's that 12 years represent? That 12 years represent the work of the devil in her life. He's trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. She had suffered many things, the Bible said, and many physicians. Spent all that she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I want you to think about 12 years of going to doctors. 12 years of every time she went to a new doctor, thinking this might be it. And that, you know, that natural hope rising up, but every time it's beat down. You know, the devil wants to beat you down. He wants to tell you you're not going to make it. He wants to tell you it's not going to happen for you. Everything about him is defeat. But Jesus has gotten us the victory. Amen? She goes on to say, when she heard of Jesus, oh, I love that phrase. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Up to this point, her focus is on what the doctors can do for me. What can I do? And in fact, she's so focused on it, she spent all the money that she had. I'd like to have that 12-year supply of money that it takes to spend on doctors. You can spend 12 years worth of money in one doctor visit, seems like sometime. Thank God for doctors. Everybody say, thank God for doctors. Not against doctors, but you know what I'm saying. 12 years, she heard of Jesus. What she heard evidently changed her focus. Because she said, she heard of Jesus. What's the Bible say? She came in the press behind. She said something. She heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That word whole is the same word translated saved in the New Testament. She could have said, I shall be healed. She could have said, I shall be saved. He's going to save me. See, salvation means God delivers you out of whatever situation you're in. You're saved. Amen? We know the story. Now, look at verse 34. Drop down there. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. There's that word whole again. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. How many times did those of us who have been around here for a while heard it from this very pulpit. If her faith will heal her, your faith can heal you. Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin, said that many, many times. She was made whole. See, faith is the hand that receives the power of God. Our belief, it's our part. Matthew chapter 18. Remember what Schofield said about that word. He's a scholar saying, telling us what that word means. And the only reason I'm spending time on that, talking about what the word salvation and save means, it means all those things, is because we have limited it to one area. And God, but you know, we have forgotten what the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We've centered up on one, and thank God for that. But I, you know, from God's perspective, you remember when Jesus told that man, take up your bed, go, your sins are forgiven. Well, the man needed healing. And they got mad. Who can forgive sins but God? He said, so that you know. He says, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? What's easy? See, from God's perspective, it's done. It's a one-off, if you will. Amen. I don't have to crucify Jesus afresh. He doesn't have to take stripes on his back again. He doesn't have to take the chastisement of my peace again. He doesn't have to be bruised for me again. He did it once and for all. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is speaking here. Verse 11, he said, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. To come and save that which is lost. The gospel is for the lost, but it's also for the sick. It's also for the poor. It's also for the depressed and oppressed and the tormented. The gospel's for everyone. Nothing is so lost that it cannot be saved. Notice he said his very purpose was to come and seek and save. One translation says seek and save. Here it says, has come to save that which was lost. It's come to heal that which was sick. It's come to supply that which has need. Every area of our life. He came. Well, you know Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus. See, healing is a sign of the divine compassion of God and the authority of God. Jesus did not come just to forgive, but he came to heal and to liberate us. Set you free. The gospel is the power of God. Glory to God. And I got good news for you today. It's unchanging. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The healing Jesus of the Gospels is the same today. We don't need a new gospel. We just need to have faith in the original one. Just believe what he did and what he said. Well, how do we get it? How do we receive it? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn over there and we'll... Now, those of you that have been students of Raymond had Ephesians class, you know, we kind of get stuck in that class in certain parts, and this is one of those sections that we get stuck on, but it's a good sticking place. It's sticky. How many know the word? It's good for the word of God to stick to you. This section of scripture right here is sticky. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and you, well, if it's you, then it's me, right? You has he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now notice, this is what we used to do. We don't live this way anymore. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, now notice that's past tense again, our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I mean, in two words, God just undid everything the devil's been trying to do in your life. Because he said, living according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, but God. But God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what goes before that. But God changes everything. What did he say? Who is rich in mercy? For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You didn't have to get right to get right. You didn't have to be right to be right with God. He did it through Jesus Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And verse 6 says, and then raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. When he raised Christ, he raised you. When he seated Christ, he seated you. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you healed. For by grace are you delivered. For by grace are you kept safe. For by grace are you preserved. For by grace, for by grace, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. Now see, there's my part. Grace is God's part. Our part is the faith aspect. Through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. We were dead, but he made us alive. By grace. We were sick, but he made us well by grace. We were tormented, but he set us free by grace. By the grace of God, through faith. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of it. Now see, what you're ashamed of, you don't talk about. But what you are giving honor to, you talk about it all the time. You talk about it all the time. I've noticed this, I've been involved with sports and played sports, been a fan of certain teams all my life. There's certain times I don't talk a whole lot about my teams. I'm still a fan. But boy, when our team wins, do we talk? Oh, yeah. But you're on the winning team. Start talking. Talk. Don't be ashamed. Declare. Don't be ashamed to declare you're healed. When I was in college, I got saved between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And, it was kind of interesting. In those times, just learning the things of God. Thank God. Thank God that was June 30th, this month here, it'd be 45 years ago. Amen. You're old, not me. But anyway, I remember, learning how to walk and live by faith, and sometimes, you're learning how different times. I can remember, we used to joke about guys, because in college how it was. I didn't go to, it was supposed to be a Christian school, but it wasn't. It was a liberal arts college. And, these guys, let's just say a lot of the guys in my dorm, they ingested things into their body they probably shouldn't have. And so they would be in the toilet. You know what I'm saying? We used to call it worshiping the porcelain God. But sometimes every once in a while you get, I'm talking about declaring God, not being ashamed to declare God's word, no matter what's going on in your life. I've been there. Something's in my stomach doesn't need to be there. It wasn't something that I did, bad, illegal, or anything like that. It was just I ate something bad. Something's going on. I don't know what it is. It's got to do something. I can remember there, and I'm sitting there, doing what we used to call them, worshiping the porcelain God, but I wasn't worshiping the porcelain God. But the whole time, I'm yelling as loud as I can. I had some folks at college say, what in the world were you yelling about in there? I'm yelling, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Not ashamed to declare what God's word said. Doesn't matter what the situation. Why? Because the gospel carries the power of God for the total man, spirit, soul, and body. Healing is not separate from salvation. It's part of it. Soundness for your mind, peace in your life. It's not separate from salvation. It's part of it. It belongs to you. If you belong to Jesus, it belongs to you. Jesus paid it all. It's time for us to receive all that he has purchased. So I want to challenge you. Be bold in proclaiming it. Be confident in believing it. And be expectant in receiving it. Bold in proclaiming the gospel. Confident in believing the gospel. Expectant in receiving what the gospel, the word of God, has to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his ascension into heaven, seated at your own right hand in that place of authority. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the gospel message, the good news. Thank you, Father, by grace are we saved through faith. While your heads are bowed there and your eyes are closed, you may be here this morning and you don't know if you're saved or not. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I got good news for you today. God raised him from the dead. He bore all the penalty for you and I. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God, he paid for it for us through what Jesus did. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. What's Lord mean? He's your master. You're turning your life over to him that you would be saved. And everything we talked about today and more on top of that will be yours because of that decision that you made. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. You're here today and you don't know. You don't know for sure. You say, well, I really don't know for sure. You can know today. You can have a know-so experience. Or maybe you've known God, and you've walked with God, but maybe you've backed away. Maybe you've come back today and you want to get things right with God. He's not mad at you. I'm going to tell you that right now. He'll receive you with open arms. You want to come back to him. On any of those invitations, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You want to have a know-so experience? Or you want to come back, establish that fellowship with God once again? I want you to raise your hand so I know. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand no matter where you are. Raise it so our ushers can see. Ushers are helping us. Anybody at all? Got a hand over here? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody upstairs? Got a hand upstairs? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got one more invitation. You're a Christian, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, just like on the day of Pentecost, the Bible way. You're not receiving tongues. You're receiving an endowment of power from on high. Tongues is just the initial manifestation. You're a Christian. Holy Spirit's in you, but he wants to come upon you. And what a blessing it is to be able to pray in an unknown tongue. It's a doorway into the supernatural. You want to receive that gift. Jesus said, if you ask Father for the Spirit, he'll give it to you. You want to receive that today, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody here want to come for that? Amen. Let's all stand up. If you raise your hand today, or maybe you should have raised your hand, I want you, don't be ashamed. Come on down here. I want to meet you right down front. I want to shake hands with you and pray for you, like I said. Here, The New Birth talks about salvation in him, who you are in Christ, and why tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. If I offer these to you, what would you have to do to get them? Just reach out and take them. There you go. And the rest of you are going to get those same books in just a moment, okay? You can have those. They'll get them in just a moment. We do that to show you that what you want to receive, you just receive. You're going to reach out and take just like that. It didn't come from me. I gave you the books. But what you receive is coming from God. So we just ask you to lift one hand towards heaven. I'm going to pray with you here. Just like I said, reach your hands out this way. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for each of these. Receiving every spiritual need met. Even everything, Father God, that has to do with their soul. Father, even healing in their body. Receiving that today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, I mentioned to you that believe in your heart and say with your mouth. I'm going to have you go with Dave and his wife. Got one more coming? Oh, yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's the pastor say? It's a long walk, but it's worth it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Someone else? Oh, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Just stay right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to come? Receive. Hallelujah. It's available. Salvation is available to anyone who will dare to believe. Glory to God. All that Jesus has done for us. Welcome, sir. Welcome. Just stand right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands back out this way and pray for this. Father, thank you for this man coming. Thank you, Father, for everyone, everything that he needs, you've supplied, and he'll receive today in Jesus' name. For this dear one, Father God, I pray for her, Father, she received what she came for, and more on top of that. Meet every spiritual need, every soul, meet needing of her soul, in the mighty name of Jesus, healing in her body also in Jesus' name. All right, see the Hendersons, go right here with these folks here. They're going to take you to a special place of prayer. Won't take very long. Then you can come on back. God bless you. Hallelujah. Give these folks a great big hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's exciting, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. Receiving in Jesus' mighty name. Well, thanks for being here this morning. Staff, if you want to go ahead and go to the doors, I want to greet everybody. Pastor Hagin's at north, Rob and Sarah west, Bill and Tony to the south. Man and I will be headed to the east. God bless you this morning. We'll see you back tonight if you're here at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7, Hour of Power. God bless you.